Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson. Bright lights, big city in New York. You know we got a bunch of big shots. We got to pour up a double shot on each side. Two big shots for each team, Mets and Yankees. Let's start with the Mets. First, pay Pete. They paid Pete, and they're getting a return on that investment. The polar bear, Pete Alonso, with the game-tying home run. He's five away from that record. I mean, Pete Alonso goes out there, has two hits, drives in two runs, also has a walk, but I also have to give props to the generational Juan Soto, who got on in front of him, who had a three-hit night, and also drove in a run. That tandem together right there, batting three and four, the Fab Four? Wait, we'll get to that in a minute. Stevie Cohen, chill. He referred to them as the Fab Four. Nimmo, Lindor, Soto, Alonso. I heard Keith Rad refer to them as the Core Four. Wait, that's a Yankee thing. Let's just go to the Yankee big shots. Giancarlo Stanton, year 8G is upon us. Stanton is feeling good. He is getting there. If he's going to be in the lineup, this is what he has to do. A three-run bomb in the sixth inning to kind of blow that game open a little bit and make it 4-0. Stanton goes out there tonight, has another knock. He's got a night where he drives in three runs and two hits. I'll take that from him. And then also, I've got to give an honorable mention or a double shot to Paul Goldschmidt, who had three hits, two RBI, and Goldie had a double. And it's good to see Goldie get back, right? You know, Goldie had some bad luck, but it's good to see Goldie get back. He needs to be a threat in this lineup. Pitching-wise, Oscar Brazoban deserves respect for what he did coming in to kind of seal the deal in the 10th. And then I got to put some respect on Will Warren as well, bouncing back here and even through the delay, doing what he did tonight. And, you know, the bullpen on both sides, minus Jeff Hartlieb. You know, the Mets bullpen tonight goes out there outside of Carrillo. You know, they didn't give up anything. Outside of Carrillo, they gave up one hit, one walk. When you look at Reed Garrett, Edwin Diaz, and Brazoban, and then for the Yankees as well, outside of Jeff Hartlieb, Ian Hamilton gave up nada. Scott Efros gave up nothing but a walk, had a K, and it's a good day. Good morning, good morning. It's a new day. It is now July 9th. As we proceed to give you what you need, it's 888-808-1019. We're talking about the Yanks. We're talking about the Mets. But I do want to plant some seeds with Mike Brown. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not a Knicks fan. I talked to a few different Knicks fans today. I'm like, this isn't awkward for y'all. This doesn't feel weird and wrong to y'all. That, like, somehow Mike Brown end up being the luckiest guy around. That he just inherited Tom Thibodeau's project. That he's getting announced today. And, you know, you can't do anything in a press conference. A lot of guys win the press conference and it's a disaster after. Like, the press conference doesn't tell us anything. I think he was professional. And I'm rooting for the brother. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I want to see him succeed and do well. But I just have this feeling of like, yo, enjoy the honeymoon stage. I have this feeling of like, what can go wrong will. And I had a call the other day. I was talking about karma, how I feel like they did Tom Thibodeau wrong. Like, I don't want to hear karma. Like, the Knick fan does not want to hear it right now. But the same Knick fan who was upset about the hire seems to be all in now. Like, oh, this is the guy. This is who we ended up with. And I'm like, you defaulted into Mike Brown. You hired a guy, and now you're telling me, look at his resume. He was coach of the year. Look what he's done. You know, even today, you know, he got on the podium and talked about being a part of championship teams. And I was going back and forth with some people online. They were talking about, oh, he's been there for the final. I'm like, he wasn't the head coach, man. Like, he's been on, you know, an assistant on a staff. But whatever, I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to hate. Like I said, I'm not a Knicks fan. And time will tell if this was the right move, if this was the right hire. But it's hard for me to look at Mike Brown today and all the pomp and circumstance and think about how this all went down and not think about Tom Thibodeau. And last night I played Derrick Rose talking about how he spoke to Tibbs. And Tibbs is all right. How can you be mad with $30 million? I think Tom Thibodeau is the type of guy that's going to be fine with the $30 million, but he is a whole coach. He's a basketball coach. This is what he loves to do. He loves the game. And I feel like they pulled the carpet from under that man. And, you know, I understand. I talked to the Knicks fans today. Keith, it was time. It was time. Okay. Okay. We'll see. A four-year deal for Mike Brown, $40 million. And this is it, Knicks fans. This is going to be your coach through this championship window. Tibbs had 1 year with Cat and Bridges, OG. And now they add Gershon Yabusele and Jordan Clarkson to the bench. Like, this is it for the Knicks fan. Like, your championship window is the 4 years with Mike Brown. So you got to hope he's the right guy. And you got to walk the talk and act like he's the right guy because it is what it is now. But if this thing blows up, I know it's going to get loud around here. I know there's going to be some disappointed fans around here. I know there's going to be a lot of people saying, you had the coach. You had the guy who changed the culture. I played iHeart talking about how they weren't winning before this guy came in. And that's another thing. As I look at another coach hire for the Knicks, I'm like, man, how many times have we seen this? How many times have they done this? And it hasn't worked out. It hasn't worked out more than it has worked out. And then we also hear today, you know, Rick Brunson will have his role on the Knicks coaching staff reduced a little bit, and that Mike Brown is expected to hire a new associate head coach. Yeah, he should. He should. It's his team. He's got to be comfortable. Like, he's got to be comfortable with his staff and who's around him. It's his team. He's got to pick the guys. I'm sure he has some type of a relationship with Rick Brunson and understands the value of having Rick Brunson and his experience with this group, with his son being the leader of the team, the captain of the team. But yeah, I don't know, man. Enjoy the honeymoon. Luckiest guy in the world right now. And shout out to him. He just got married. He just proposed. His fiance was in the building. Good for him. Good for him. He said he was a foodie. Coming to New York, you can get whatever kind of food you want. And you don't have to look too hard. But yeah, I don't know. I tweeted today. You know, they asked him about Tibbs. He said, Tom is a tremendous coach. He's a friend of mine. But I don't want to get into the past. I'm just excited about the roster, the things we're going to put in place and where we can go with the guys and what we have. And he wants to get to work. He wants to get to work. And I don't know. Get to work. It better work. It better work. It is finals or nothing. Now, the New York Knicks have entered the Yankees territory and where the Mets are now as well. You're expected to get to the championship and win it. And anything short of it, there are no participation trophies. There are no pats on the back. There is no award for second place. Like, you're expected to win. You're expected to win. And that's what he said. He knows that. This is New York. This is the Knicks and the pedigree. He gave props to the fans. And he's coming in here expecting to win. So all that's on the table tonight. 888-808-1019. Yankees reaction, Mets reaction, and Knicks fan reaction to the hiring of your next head coach. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit to earlier today. And, like, I don't want to lean too much into it because, like I said, it felt like there was a lot of negative energy as, you know, Yankee fans hear from Aaron Boone. And I don't know if they feel, like, vindicated or they feel like they won or something when Boone is like, okay, yeah, you know, Jazz is going to play second base. It's like, finally. But, like, yeah, I don't care. Better late than never. It's July 8th. It's the last week before the All-Star break. Like, better late than never. Like, I don't mind you correcting things. I don't mind you changing things now in an effort to push forward. And I really think this is the last we're going to see, you know, Peraza. This is temporary. Peraza is a guy that I think they'll keep around. Like, I heard Michael Kay, he can field with the best of them. Yeah, we always heard Peraza can pick it. Peraza Palooza is back on. But, you know, with Jaime Candelario and with Nicky Lopez and with the trade deadline looming, we expect something to happen here. Yankees Twitter has their eyes and ears on everything, right? Brian Hoke reported earlier today, Everson Pereira and Brian De La Cruz were removed from the lineup in AAA with the Rail Riders. So people are like, move is coming, move is coming. And you don't know who to trust on Twitter. There's so many sources and people saying things, oh, move is imminent. Oh, they must have a move coming. That's why this is going on. I don't know if a move is coming this week before the All-Star break, but so be it. Oh, speaking of the All-Star break, for the Met fan, I did see today, Ronald Acuna Jr. was scratched from tonight's lineup with lower back tightness. Now, they're saying it's nothing too serious, but, you know, the All-Star festivities are in a week. The All-Star game is in a week. He's supposed to be in the Home Run Derby Monday, no? So, O'Neal Cruz is going to participate in the Home Run Derby, so they got another one there. But what I'm saying is, if Ronald Acuna ends up saying, hey, you know, this is in my home ballpark, but I got to be smart. I can't go. I got a lower back tightness. That could open up a spot for Juan Soto, who everybody's saying is snubbed. Everybody is saying this guy should be in the All-Star game. Even Mendoza was just talking about how, yeah, it's kind of annoying. And it's frustrating. He's an All-Star. Yes, Juan Soto has been an All-Star for so many years. I know I was saying that he's at the All-Star game every year. But I think what people forget about the All-Star voting, we're at the end of the voting in June. I hear people talking about Juan Soto was the player of the month in June. Okay, was he the player of the month in April and May? Like, that is when the players are voting. That is when the fans start voting, or at least start to vote and look at your numbers from the first 2 months of the season. If you turn it on late in June, like Juan Soto did, and I know I leaned into he's a me guy, he's going to try and make the All-Star team off of having a good June, it might be too little, too late. 888-808-1019. Steve Cohen, I'm sorry, bro. I started to catch a little flack from the Met fan, as I tend to do on Twitter. It is what it is. I'm used to it. But I swear, I was riding in, listening to Mets Radio 880. Shout out to Keith Rad, and shout out to my boy Rec, too. I'm glad Rec is getting to do some calls, and you know, Rec got his first win. So I'm listening to the end of the game, and Keith Rad referred to, I guess, Nimmo, Lindor, Soto, and Alonso as the core four. And I said, hey, yo, get your own. Hey, you can't do that. The core four, that was homegrown talent, champions. And we all know Bernie Williams belongs in that group to make it a core five. But then as I park the car, I see Steve Cohen, right, phenomenal win tonight led by the Fab Four. I'm like, what are we doing? What, get your own, come up with something else. Fab Four coming off of the Fab Five, Michigan Wolverines, college.
I don't know, it kind of sounds like coming up with something else to me. Kind of sounds like you hating a little bit right
you
now.
You sound like a whole Met fan. With your Mets jersey on, your Mets player tee, who's on the back? Alonzo?
How we feeling?
Who's on the back of your...
Oh, you know it's my man, Marte. I only ride with Starlin.
Nah, I get it, man. I get it, man. The Mets want to be the Yankees so bad. You got four guys, one of which is the highest paid player. You had to pay him damn near $800 million to be here. We weren't even sure if he wanted to be on that side. Lindor is a guy that you traded for, paid him, and it took him a little while, but he has really become the captain and a New Yorker and understood what it takes. Nimmo's homegrown, I give you that. Pete Alonso's homegrown, but Pete Alonso's going to opt out. Pete Alonso's going to want his bread. You're going to have to run him his money. I started calling him Paid Pete because it was smart that they paid Pete. Look at the return on investment. But he's having an all-star year. He's not even going to do the Derby this year because he's expecting to have a good second half and run through the postseason where he's going to sit at the table again with David Stearns, Steve Cohen, and Scott Boras. And Scott Boras is going to say, run me my money? Run me my money for the polar bear. Pay him long term. If not, somebody else will. 888-808-1019. Let's talk to these Yankee fans that call the fan about the trade deadline and what third baseman they want. Is it Eugenio Suarez? Is it Ryan McMahon? Is it Key Brian Hayes? I think you're probably going to see a Jaimer Candelario. I think they're going to really try to add pitching because they have to. The pitching is in shambles. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get the third baseman of your dreams. But call me up and tell me. Mets fans, you chime in as well. Avery in Manhattan first on the fan. What's up, Avery? Did you go to the game tonight?
No, not tonight. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, I wanted to go tonight, but I slept wrong last night. And I still got this like crick in my neck. And I'm like, I don't feel like going tonight. I gave my tickets away.
I had to go to work.
same.
Yeah, right. The deadline, regarding the deadline with the Yankees, I mean, there's, look, let's, we can go on. You saw the cover of the Post today, Help Wanted. You saw how many things were listed? I thought it was a good,
you
a good
added one.
Graphic. I thought it was a good graphic for, you could add more than one, but you could always add more than one. But the fact of the matter is that given the Schmidt injury, which by the way is devastating, and you know, you talk about the issues with the way that pitchers prepare and the situations that they're put in and why they might or may not be able to complete a no-hitter, for example, and, 103 pitches, he re-aggravates an injury, and 2 weeks later, after the best streak of his career, he goes down with Tommy John for the second time in his career. You know? It seems like this kind of thing keeps happening. But regardless of that, the fact of the matter is that now they don't have a reliable righty. I mean, they barely have a reliable lefty. They've got Fried and the question marks. Rodon is still a question mark until I see him perform well in a high-pressure situation. So that's I think that this is the time. This is my opinion, and a lot of people seem to disagree with me on this. They're like, oh, you need to prioritize the third baseman first. You need a third baseman first. I'm saying if you actually want to make a run in the playoffs, you have to have at least, at the bare minimum, two, if not three, reliable pitchers that you can go to.
Yeah.
You can't have three lefties. Now you've got two lefties. You have to rope Rodon into that. You don't have Cole. But I also never really believed that Schmidt was that third guy. I never really thought that. I always thought, okay, well, maybe they can get Heel back. You obviously have no idea what you're going to get out of him. But I always felt that you needed a pitcher at the deadline, a starting pitcher. This makes that more – this necessitates that need, in my opinion, that they need to fill the void left by Clark Schmidt. It was a void in the first place. There was the hole already existed. Now they need to fill it more. And I think this is the time for Brian Cashman to finally say, okay – if we have the opportunity to get a big superstar starting pitcher, and listen, I don't believe it. Like, you know, I have no precedent to believe that they're going to get a Zach Gallen caliber pitcher. I certainly don't think that's going to happen. But I feel like now is as good of a time as any, especially with the fact that Cole and Schmidt won't be available for half or all of next season, to make that choice, at least for now, get somebody who's a pending free agent, bring them to the Bronx, and give up a top prospect to get them. Now's the time.
Thanks for the call, Avery. You're the man. I'll see you at the stadium. I don't know if I'm going to go up there tomorrow. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going tomorrow. My neck. I'm on live. Y'all see my neck, my back, my neck, and my back. My neck, bro. That's how I know I'm getting old, too. It sucks. It's like you get old, you sleep wrong, and then your whole day, I'm looking up. I'm on Google. I'm using the ice, the heating pad. I'm doing stretches. Anyway. Luis Gil is going to begin a rehab assignment on Sunday. I'm not putting any eggs in that basket. They are going to build him up to be a starter. They're saying he might be out there at Somerset. I don't know what Luis Gil is going to be. I'm not putting any hope into Luis Gil coming back and being, I don't know. So I'm saying go get a starter. I don't know who it is they're going to go get. Sandy Alcantara, whose name comes up all the time. Mets fans are interested in getting him as well. You need starters in the postseason, and then you also need bullpen depth. You need weapons. You need guys that can come in a tight spot and get you three outs. And with all of these Yankees injuries, like, I haven't even mentioned Mark Leiter Jr. yet, which, like, we give Mark Leiter Jr. a hard time. He's in and out of the circle of trust. But today when I saw that, I'm like, wait, what? He has a stress fracture in his left leg. And Brian Hoke wrote, Mark Leiter Jr. sustained that stress fracture covering first base in the extra inning game in Cincinnati. And there's somebody on Twitter called Burden Burner who said, wait, so he broke his leg on this play and then he pitched in four more games? I'm like, bro, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, was he really pitching with a broken leg, with a fracture in his leg? Did he not report it? Did the Yankees not? I don't know, man. Because he didn't have good showings after, and that's part of it. But now he's gone, and he was a guy that they kept going to, just like they kept going to Fernando Cruz, kept going to Luke Weaver. I feel like Luke Weaver was rushed back. It's like this bullpen is thin. we are literally down to using Scott Efros and JT Brubaker and Jeff Hartlieb. And I don't know, man. I don't know how. They just got to get through this week. They need the All-Star break in a bad, bad way. 888-808-1019. Steven is in Stamford, Connecticut on the fan. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Keith, it's your resident Mets fan calling in because you always say that Mets fans don't call in.
Oh, yeah.
But I love your show. Big fan.
Thanks.
Just want to put out the possibility of calling Alonzo, Nimmo, Soto, and the other four, the Fantastic Four, as opposed to the Fab Four. But I would say that it's really not fair because I think McNeil has shown up here and there, and the Mets are winning despite getting zero production out of the catching position. They're getting very little production, almost nothing out of Vientos, and they've had their share of pitching injuries. I mean, they just emptied their entire AAA system into the last weekend, and somehow they won two out of three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a Houdini act if I ever saw one. So considering that everything has been going on, I don't think it's fair to say it's only those four. McNeil's chipped in. Even Beatty's chipped in every now and then. So, and not to mention, what about Edwin Diaz? What about Garrett? These guys have really pulled their own weight. I mean, Diaz is untouchable. And Garrett, you know, came in and he did a great job. And if Brazoban does what he did tonight on a regular basis, hey, we got something.
Yeah.
With our pitching relief coming back, we're getting some pitchers after the All-Star break. We're going to be cooking with gas. That's not, you know, maybe we'll have Alvarez come back hitting like he
you
used
will.
To.
He's hitting in the minors. Sean Manaea is pitching well in the minors as well.
Yeah. Manaea's a gimme. I mean, that's when he gets back, he'll figure it out. It's a guy who figured out how to throw sidearm on the fly. I have confidence that Manaea will figure it out. Now, injuries are always an issue, but you notice somehow Alonso's figured out the soft toss the first ever since that injury.
Yeah, sure he's been working on it. I'm sure he felt bad about it. Steven, thanks for the call, man. Let's go back. Fantastic Four you could run with as well, even though that is obviously a Marvel thing. And, I mean, the new Fantastic Four movie comes out July 25th, so the timing of that is right there. What I thought about and put in my notes is this is the Mets quartet. There you go. Rhymes a little bit. The Met quartet. But, like Steve was saying, you don't want to leave anybody out. You don't want to leave out the flying squirrel, Happy Jeff. Are they going to trade Jeff? Maybe they plan on sending him somewhere. Nah, I don't think they're gonna try. They could. Sean Manaea actually just looked up. I mean, it depends who you ask. I said he was pitching well in the minors. Here's his line from AAA Syracuse last night. 3 2/3 innings pitch, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks, 73 pitches. I try not to read too much into minor league lines and stats, especially if you didn't watch him pitch. I know it's so different. It's like they're pitching in a high school. Like, there's nobody at the game. So different. But, like, help is on the way. You'll take that. You'll take Manaea when he's ready in a little bit. Alvarez as well. Alvarez went down to the minors, and he just started bopping again. Let's see. Alvarez had a go-ahead RBI single for AAA Syracuse tonight. So help is on the way. And Brooks Raley is another guy through 1 1/3 scoreless innings in his rehab outing with AAA Syracuse. So there are reinforcements on the way. I don't know what the nickname of these four guys is going to be, but you don't need one. Speaking of help on the way, Jesse Winker returned. Marte goes on the IL. Winker doesn't do much tonight, 0-2. And then he gets pinch hit for Vientos. And then Vientos got pulled late in that game for Jankowski to come in and lay down a bunt. And like I was saying, I'm kind of looking at Vientos right now. Like, bro, you got to get it together ASAP, ASAP. It's crazy to me. I watched Vientos with my own eyes be a dog in the postseason, where I literally look at you like, maybe it's because I look at guys like Judge, or not even just Judge, but there's so many great players that have folded in the postseason. I look at a guy like Vientos, his first opportunity to be Swaggy V in October, he shined. So to me, that's like, you got ice in your veins. What is going on with bro? I know he was hurt. I know they sent him down, but he's got to snap out of it, because a lot of us were saying he was going to be a 30-homer guy this year. A lot of us were saying, oh, he was a lock. Some people were saying, yo, we don't even need Pete Alonso. We could put Mark Vientos at first base. That's crazy talk. And now Ronnie Mauricio might be he's a step ahead of him right now. And we were thinking that between Jared Young and Ronnie Mauricio, they're going to send Ronnie Mauricio. Nah, Ronnie Mauricio's come up with some big moments. He's got to learn how to run the bases. He's got to, you know, have a little bit more of a baseball IQ on the base pass. He helped out the Yankees this past weekend. I was like, yo, my man. 888-808-1019. Now we got Mets fans and Yankee fans on hold. So we'll get back to the calls, but I'm running out of time. Let's break it down. When we come back, we'll talk to him. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB. Whenever I turn on WFAN and the Fan, y'all be talking about the sports. Y'all don't get tired. Y'all do not get tired talking about the Yankees, the Mets. Y'all talking about the same teams, same players. Y'all do not give it up. Rob is out in Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, Rob? You got it.
What's up, man? How you doing now?
Good. I'm just in a better mood because I saw a win. I saw 10 runs. I saw some home runs. I saw some good things tonight.
Yeah, it's a nice bounce back from what we just witnessed the past 10 days or so. But I was just calling in because I want to know if I'm actually delusional or not. But why are we still rolling out Anthony Volpe out there if he's a fake gold glover? And I don't understand. We have Peraza right there. And I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, we put this kid into the fire at the end of the year when we were fiddling around with IKF, and we realized he wasn't going to be the answer in the playoffs.
I remember.
He put this kid in the fire, and he had a good postseason.
No.
And then in the spring training, he's doing better than what Anthony Volpe would be putting out, and he was throwing into the fire.
I can't. Like, you might be delusional. Peraza was a break glass in case of emergency situation in an ALCS where the Yankees got swept, and they didn't have a shot anyway, but they, again, succumb to the fans and the media and people saying, yo, IKF is not it. He had the yips. He couldn't field his position. So they actually had to put young Peraza into that space. And then the following year, right, that's where Volpe came into the equation. And it was the three of them, Peraza, IKF, and Volpe, competing for the starting shortstop spot. I think Peraza might have been hurt a little bit.
IKF was
easy to beat out. Volpe had a great month of March, and I remember hearing about how Volpe was training all winter for that opportunity. Here's even a little sidebar. I was at the ALCS. I actually met Volpe in 2022 at the ALCS when Peraza and IKF were out there. Like, I remember, I always tell the story about Volpe. He didn't sit down. We were in a suite. He did not sit down. He was pacing because he felt like he should be out there. So here we are, where Volpe is the shortstop. Why do they keep running him out there? They have no better option. They believe in him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play the audio from Talking Yanks of Aaron Boone, the manager, defending him today. And like you say, he has a fake gold glove. It's real.
It's definitely real. It's just, to me, it's like the Yankees organization wants him to be something that he really isn't. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to throw all
He's
this.
He's 24 years old. They believe in the kid because they see his work ethic. They believe in the kid because they, whatever metrics and whatever hidden numbers and things they see, like, I'm going to play Boone. I listened to Talking Yanks today. Shout out to John Boy and Jake, because like they actually ask Boone like the questions that we want to hear as fans, and Boone has to answer them. And you know, they talked, Boone said something today about how Volpe is a beast with his recovery. That's why they play him so much, and his body type and his muscle and whatever. And they see him as someone who's still developing, and they see him as a guy that like hasn't reached his full potential yet. And they believe in him, and they just feel like he's in a little bit of a rough stretch. So
And I'm with that, and I really do like Volpe. I can see why they fell in love with him, because he's a great kid too. With that, but I just truly don't believe he's a shortstop. I really think if he went into second base, he would be probably, if not the best second base, or a top three second baseman. It's hard for me to watch him at shortstop these days, man. It's like patience is getting very thin on top of the Yankees management and just ownership, in my opinion. I don't think the Yankees are really ever going to go forward with Hal there. And that's just like, I'll leave you at that, but that's just my opinion. And that's a discussion for another day, you know? I hope you have a good night, bro.
Thanks for the call, Rob. I don't know. You went from, like, why are we rolling out Volpe to, like, I like Volpe. And, like, listen, bro, he is the shortstop. I was watching MLB Now, and they were talking about how Javi Baez is playing center field. And then they put out a poll today. Who would you rather have for the next X amount of years? Javi Baez's contract at, like, 2 years, $24 million a year is actually better than what the Twins are on the hook for Carlos Correa, what the Rangers are on the hook for Corey Seager, what the Red Sox are on the hook for Trevor Story. Bro, they pay Anthony Volpe $879,000. And they get this type of production from him. And listen, I am not saying that he's been productive. There are at-bats, there are circumstances in this last month, in this season, where I'm like, come on. The fact that he, like, leads the league in reverse RBIs, runners left on, it's terrible. But it's not the reason the Yankees are losing. And the Yankees will defend him over and over and over again because they see potential and they see him as the guy in the future. They like his work ethic, this, that, and the other. They don't feel like it's hurting the team. And when you say, why are you rolling him out there? They don't have, like, okay, you want Peraza to play short, so who's playing third? Jazz? And then DJ's playing second? They already told you today, right, that DJ can't physically play the position. 888-808-1019. Barry's in Freehold on the Fan next. What's up, Barry?
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, just enjoying two wins in a row. You know, I forgot the feeling.
Ooh.
You know?
It feels good. I feel like I can breathe again. I feel like the air's like just better. The food tastes better. It's like, wow, came up for air from drowning.
Funny, 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, the Mets were dead in the water, you know? And the Yankees were, you know, they were somewhat floating, but now it's like the opposite.
I said with the Mets losing and the Yankees losing at the same time, I was more mad at the Yankees. I couldn't even enjoy the Mets losing.
Yeah, I know. You know, as a Yankee fan who is still salty about Soto leaving, you know, I still fantasize of him, you know, joining the Yankees again. But I'm still angry about it. I enjoy watching him fail, but I'm telling you, the dude's coming back. He's coming back.
Soto's already back. He's back, man.
Yeah, he's back to himself, and he's like, he has like this like monstrous presence, you know, in the lineup that like, you know, that I miss as a Yankee, you know, besides for Aaron Judge. You know, it's like
we need Stanton to continue to come back. Good sign from Goldschmidt tonight. Belly is on a heater right now. He's on like a 13-game hit streak, had three hits tonight. The Yankees have enough, you know, at the plate where I don't ever miss Soto. But I understand Soto is one of the best players in baseball. It is kind of a travesty that like the All-Star game could go on without him. It makes no sense for the highest paid player in the history whose contract is not going to be touched for years to not be there. But like that also goes to show you how people feel about the guy. His peers didn't vote him in.
Yeah. I mean, true that. I mean, also his slow start maybe, you know, may have played a role
his
in that.
His slow start gave people a reason to be like, I'm not voting for him. He's not doing it. He doesn't look very Soto-like to me.
Yeah, that's in it. No, I was just also going to point out Bellinger, that beautiful play that he made in left the other day. Oh, my God, dude. Like that was a good call by Boone to not have Dominguez play left in that, you know, for that game. That was a real good call by him.
As much as we criticize Boone for the lineups and decisions, that was divine. That might have saved the season. Definitely saved the game and the series from being swept. Yeah.
I can handle that. I can handle a Mets sweeping the Yankees, you know? No. Hell no.
No, that would have been drink bleach time. That would have been time to drink some bleach.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, no, I just want to say one more thing about Volpe. You know, like, we got to give the kid a chance. You know, like, what are we going to do, run him out of town? You know, he's 3 years into the league already, but he's still a kid. In 3 years' time, he could be, you know, one of the best in the game. You know, and not everyone could be Jeter, you know, be stars in their first season. You know, like people need to relax about him. You know, like
we just need to leave Jeter and Volpe, like those last names, out of the same sentence.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure, man. No, absolutely. We got to appreciate with what we have. You know, he's a homegrown kid. You could tell he has his heart in it. You know, he's very emotional about it. He's living out his dream, and you know, we got to support him for that. We can't like turn his experience into like a nightmare. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like Joey Gallo, like someone like throwing him out.
He's not,
like,
but he's not Joey Gallo. Thanks for the call, Barry. Joey Gallo, I think he said his screen name was Yanks Fan Forever 13. And, you know, when he got here, he sucked. And you know, people made it hard for him to even walk around the city, and he got up out of here quickly. Volpe's not like that. I don't know how many times I've been on here like, one of us. He wants the Yankees to win as much as you guys do. He grew up a Yankee fan as well, and I think I heard C-Mac talking about it, and there was some quote cards put out there about, like, yo, you think it doesn't affect the kid to know that, like, there's a large part of the Yankee fan base right now that's, like, hating on him, that hates him, that is calling the fans saying that he shouldn't be playing. I'm in the chat right now. Somebody just suggested a trade with they're not trading Volpe, bro. And I hope this passes. I hope that he has a hot stretch. I hope that he has some better at-bats, but he's pressing. I think the All-Star break is very much needed. I don't know. He's the guy for this year at least, so just get over it. He's not going to be perfect, and when you hear your manager, Aaron Boone, talk about it, here, we have the audio. So if you didn't listen to Talking Yanks today, it was a good episode. Like I said, I give props to Jimmy and Jake for, you know, having this relationship with Boone and the Yankees. And then holding Boone's feet to the fire, you know, like when the episode started, like they said that they were going to ask Boone about playing DJ. That's what we all want to know. And then they asked about Volpe, and they don't tap dance around Volpe's struggles. But listen to Aaron Boone defend his shortstop. Let's play it.
I mean, I'd like to chalk it up to like a tough couple of weeks where a couple of plays that he is capable of making or normally even makes didn't make. That's going to happen. It's just, it's around us losing some games and him struggling a little bit offensively, so he becomes the poster child. But it's like, this happens to everyone. Like, everyone. I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, defensive spells.
He's in the doldrums of his, he's in the worst stretch of his season, let's call it. And, like, I get it. You want it to be great, and you want it to be more. He's a 700 and a gold glover. Like there's guys out there that you'd go sign that for a lot of money to go play, and there'd be no noise around it. But because you want him to be a superstar and whatever, and it's not happened to the rate people want, like, the guy's a really good player.
Well,
okay? And yeah. It doesn't mean we don't expect more or want more from him, or demand more from him. And he's front in line with that. He wants to be great at this.
He's
gone through a tough couple of weeks where he hasn't swung the bat great necessarily, and he hasn't made a couple plays that he normally makes because he's great out there.
I mean, you would think that Aaron Boone was talking about his son. He was defending him like Michael Volpe was ready to turn up. Like, I have to say a couple things. Like, to say he's a 700 OPS guy, he's a little bit under that for his 2025 regular season right now. He's at 686. And also for his career, he's at 666. So that's embellishing a little bit. Also, to say he's a really good player, you can't be leading the league in runners. And, like, listen, I'm a Volpe guy. I'm a Jersey guy. I've told you guys, I rock with the family. I rock with Volpe, all that. But I keep it a bean as well. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, Boone will lie to you. Like, Boone will kind of stretch the truth a bit. To say that this happens to everybody, yes, it does. It's baseball. But I think right now there's just a little bit of a I don't know how to phrase it, you know. It's not putting lipstick on a pig. It's kind of just like a PR campaign to, like, shield Volpe from it, because it's gotten really loud. Through those, you know, when you have two 6-game losing streaks in a month. And also, like, even when they were, like, you know, and you heard Jimmy kind of say, ah, well, the defense, like, what Jimmy and Jake were kind of hitting Boone with about Volpe was like, yo, you're saying he's a gold glove. I already had a call tonight that says he's got a fake gold glove. He won that gold glove in 2023. And I got to go back and look who else was nominated. Some people say Wander Franco should have won it, but then Wander Franco, we don't have to wander about what happened to Franco. I mean, he had good defense last year. But, like, for us to keep going back to a gold glove, the gold glove isn't what it used to be, and I don't care. I saw with my own eyes in that Toronto series a couple balls that he should have put in his pocket, a couple plays that, like, that's not it. I saw him try to make a couple Jeter jump-type throws, and it's like, that's not it, bro. You know, like, what Jimmy and Jake, I think, were going at Boone with Volpe was saying, like, yo, it seems like his struggles at the plate have carried over to the defense, and that's where you have a problem. This is a guy that might need a day off, might need a reset. They did give him one on June 22nd, the last time the Yankees had won back-to-back games before last night. But he's their shortstop. And like I said, they talked about his recovery and his body, and he's young, and he's working through it, and I know he puts in the work. But we do need to see the results. It's a results-driven business, and what I say all the time is this is the New York Yankees. Being the shortstop of the New York Yankees is like being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, the shooting guard for the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, you've got to be that guy. You've got to be the dude without a doubt. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stefan in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, man?
What's going on, Keith? Real quick on the Volpe thing, I just want to give him a little bit more time, but I get all the criticism and I get all the cynicism. He is 24 years old, so I guess that's where my sympathy kind of lies. Like, let's see what he got, you know, this year, and then maybe if he's not ready, maybe Jordan Lombard Jr. comes up from the minors the middle of next year.
And I hate that we're inevitably going to get to that in the spring, where people are going to be like, George Lombard, and like, he needs more time to develop. Let's not rush him and rush Volpe out. They're both young. They're 19 and 24. Like,
I got it. No, you make a great point. But, you know, like you said, the conversation's eventually going to start at some point, whether we want it to or not. And I have a trade idea for you, and I don't know what you think about this, because the Yankees obviously need pitching with Clark Schmidt going down and – You know, you don't know what you're getting from Hill. What do you think about the idea of the Yankees trading for a package deal of David Bednar and Mitch Keller to solve their bullpen and rotation problems?
Awesome. We got to give up George Lombard, though.
I mean, if that's what you got to do, then that's what you got to do, right?
Nah, like, I'm not giving up Lord George Lombard. Like he turned 20 on June 2nd. He's going to play in the All-Star game for the Futures.
He's playing in the Futures game,
and I hope he does his thing. You know,
you can't.
He's off limits. I guarantee you he's off limits, because the Yankees have right now a hole at third base where they might be able to trade for somebody. And then also, as everybody is on Volpe's ass, if Volpe doesn't figure it out in the next year or two, this kid plays shortstop. So he's going to be on the left side of that infield one way or another in the next 2 years. Like, he might be at age 22 starting at third base or shortstop.
Hey, man, either way, it's a win-win for me, because I just want to see the Yankees win. But real quick, before I get on out of here, I just want to thank you publicly for doing the pod today. That was great. And hopefully the Yankees win a couple more games for us.
Yes, sir. The pod brought us the right energy. Thanks for having me. 27 outs. The Yankees got a big win today. And like I said, man, I retweeted you guys. Tag me when you clip up the video and you put it on Instagram. I'll share it. I'll try to leverage my following and give you guys the support. Thanks for the call, Stefan. 888-808-1019. You know, with George Lombard, he's off limits. I don't expect them to trade him. Spencer Jones, I think that they're kind of showcasing, and he could get moved. You got to give to get. David Bednar, Mitch Keller, sure, send him. But I think the Pirates organization, they're not going to just send them for nothing. I don't know. I'm not getting my hopes up, and I'm kind of cautioning you. Do not get your hopes up for a big deadline, for a big haul. You're just setting yourself up for failure. We have who we have. And there's enough guys on this team that when they're in the right positions, when they perform, they can compete. They might not be the best team in the league right now, but like they can compete. Where I expect them to get to the postseason. That's why, you know, in the last couple of days, people talking about they need to sell. What the hell? You don't sell. You don't sell Judge's 33-year-old season where he just had 33, now 34 home runs before the All-Star. But you don't sell in a year where Max Fried is what he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see this through. It is July 9th. You try to see what you can get at the deadline. And the thing about the deadline is it should be pushed back. So I don't expect, like, people were saying there were going to be moves today. I already talked about Everson Pereira being pulled and whatever. Like, I don't expect there to be a move. I don't expect Cashman to make a move until the very last minute. And I think that's also how he kind of leverages stuff, like, hey, time's running out. What do you guys want to do here? You want to get this done? And we'll see if it gets done. They got to get through this week. They got one game on the Mariners. They got to take another game from them. Then they got to deal with the Cubs. And then the All-Star break is going to be much needed for this team to rest, to relax, to kick their feet up and kind of get a break from baseball and then make the push into the second half. Tom is in Garden City on the Fan before we get to the next break. What's up, Tom? You're in there.
Hey, Keith. Listening in the drive home from work. I really like your show. I have a trade deadline target that nobody's talking about it, but I just saw it today. I think Cleveland might try to move Jose Ramirez before the deadline. And if they do, that's a guy that fits perfectly. Gold Glove caliber third base.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to tell me his resume, but what did you see or hear that makes you think that Cleveland's going to move Jose Ramirez?
I read it on Twitter. I don't remember exactly where. I'm sorry, X, whatever you want to call it. It was just a rumor. They said since Cleveland's 10 games under, there was a lot of smoke about them potentially trying to shed some salary and move Jose Ramirez.
Okay.
If they keep playing the way they are and they keep going down, anybody but George Lombard, I would tell them Spencer Jones, Everson Pereira, Orbit Vivas, whoever you want, take him. That guy is perfect, and he fits every need for us.
I would love to see Jose Ramirez on the Yankees. I just think it's not, like, I've taken a few calls on it. I just think it's not happening. I think the Guardians look at the Yankees as a team that they try to knock off. They lost to in the ALCS last year. I think they look at Jose Ramirez as a guy that they got a steal of a deal for, that wanted to stay there, that wanted to be the face of the franchise. Like, I don't know. I don't know what
they're 10 games. They're 10 games under. They're not getting any better. I mean, business is business.
Exactly. Business is going to, they're not going out of business next year. Jose Ramirez contract is good.
No, yeah. He's only making, I think, 22 million. I think he's made something like that. It's not a lot.
He's making over 4 years, 141 million.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Over a 7-year contract, and I think he's like, I don't even know, he might be on the second half of that contract.
I think he has 3 years left.
Yeah. So I wouldn't move him. Thanks for the call, Tom. But see, that's another thing too. That's the first thing I said to you. You don't have to sell me on the all-star that is Jose Ramirez, one of the best hitters in baseball any given day. He's going to put up ridiculous numbers. But where did you hear that the Guardians are going to shop him or move him? And like, you know, Twitter sucks now. Like, I don't know what is real and what's not real. You have to really, like, vet out things on Twitter and see where they're coming from, because anybody can create a graphic, anybody can pose as a reporter, anybody can retweet things, and you just read it. And it used to be, when you're on Twitter, like, verified accounts. Like, I remember I got verified, and I had to get verified because I was on MLB Network, and MLB saw to it that, like, hey, you're on our show. You need to have a verified badge to verify you are who you are. Twitter has changed since Elon Musk has got on there. I'm verified now, but that's because I make money off of it. They send me $50 every 2 weeks off of just trolling the Met fans and posting random stuff from Yankee Stadium. But it's not a good source for credible information. So I don't know. I don't know what to believe. And as we get closer to deadline, more of that stuff's going to pop up. Okay, this time is flying on me. I've got an hour left. There's still more that I want to do. There are some things I want to tap into from Twitter, some stuff about Rafael Devers, some stuff about the Dodgers. We'll look at Major League Baseball. Still taking calls on Mike Brown if anybody wants to weigh in. Still taking calls on the Yankees, the trade deadline, of course, talking the Mets as well. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.